Okay. Just so y'all know, we're recording this. Can I
get going? Yes. Okay, well, welcome everybody. Glad you could find our offices. I know they're a little bit tricky here. There's nothing on the outside of the building that says WICTAC. It's a private office building that they're renting space. And I know some folks have been here before, but most of you probably haven't. So good job finding it. Pass the first test. If you're here for the Express Bus Implementation Plan Pre-Proposal Conference, you're in the right place. We are WICTAC. Some of you may be familiar with who we are. Others maybe not so much. We are a joint powers agency created by the jurisdictions in West Contra Costa County. Also, transit agencies are members of WICTAC. They pay dues, and that's one of the things that helps to support us and support what we do. We're a very small organization. We serve a role called the RTPC role, which is a unique thing in Contra Costa County. Contra Costa County, for the purposes of their Measure J sales tax, is divided into separate subregions. And we represent the western subregion within Contra Costa County for the purposes of a lot of the Measure J related activities. So we work very closely with the CCTA. And also do some independent things, like we can apply for grant funds, and in this case, that's what we've done. We applied for SB1 planning funds in partnership with AC Transit and WestCat, but we very much took the lead following up on some other planning work that we've done. So we do a lot of planning and programming work. We were successful in obtaining you'll get plenty to say. Successful in obtaining the SB1 grant, put out an RFP, and Leah Greenblatt, who's sitting next to me, is going to be our project manager. And so I think with that, so I don't go through all of your content, Leah, I'm going to turn it over to you. And I think at some point, do we have a sign-in sheet,
yep.
Leah? Okay, just wanted to make sure we do. Great. All right.
And he's John Nemeth, our executive director.
Did I not mention that? Okay.
And this is going to be a very brief presentation, just giving you some highlights of the request for proposal, and then we'll have time for some questions. So we're going to go over a little bit more in the introduction topic, subject area, then go over funding and organization, the schedule, go over the planning area, and an abbreviated version of our scope of work. This requirements for the RFP submittal, and briefly our selection criteria and evaluation, and how we're handling questions and answers. So the impetus for the study is that WICTAC, that's the West Contra Costa Transportation Advisory Committee, has for a number of years held as a policy goal improving high capacity transit in the area. And recently we completed the West County High Capacity Transit Study, which had a number of recommendations, including an express bus service additional and expanded express bus service in West County. Another kind of driver of this planning effort is the traffic congestion within the I-80 corridor. As you all probably know, I-80 is repeatedly ranked as in the top 2 to 3 most congested corridors in the Bay Area. And it affects the ability to use our HOV lanes because of congestion and degradation there. And so part of this looks at this future planning document looks at how we can maximize the use of those HOV lanes. And then kind of bringing it on home, if regional measure 3 is approved in June, then there's money set aside in there for transit on the I-80 corridor, and that's, there's $25 million in there that potentially could be used to implement the implementation plan. So as John said, you know, we took the lead on applying for this grant with AC Transit and WestCat. Also, our partners are our WICTEC agencies, and they may not fully know it at this point, but we've also included Berkeley, Emeryville, Oakland, and San Francisco, as well as Contra Costa County, and Caltrans, who's the actual funder, has not only overseeing the plan as our funding source, but also they have facilities within the corridor. So in terms of funding, the Caltrans Sustainable Communities Grant gave us $639,000 in change with a local match, which includes an in-kind staff contribution and a cash match. And taking away the in-kind contribution and adding in our cash match, the total cash available is about $681,000. Then in terms of what we are foreseeing for expenditures, from that $681,000, WICTEC is eligible to be reimbursed for some of the our work in the grant, and we estimate that to be in the $10,000 range. And then we've set aside a contingency of about 10% of the total cash available at $68,100, which leaves the available funds at about $603,000. But of course, you can come in with a lower budget and everybody would be happy. Okay, so for the study organization, it's based on a scope of work that we submitted with our grant, and everything that we do for this grant has to be consistent with the funding agreement we have with Caltrans. So the organization of the grant proposal identified the three study partners and also a technical advisory committee, which is composed of the WICTEC, which is our local member jurisdictions, including AC Transit, WestCat, and BART. And it, we also foresee this planning study also having members of the Technical Advisory Committee from Emeryville, Berkeley, Oakland, San Francisco, and Caltrans. Then one of the things that's kind of unique, not unique, but is challenging in this corridor is that there's not a governing body that covers the whole territory. So, you know, our jurisdiction is West Contra Costa County, but we know we need to look at locations in Alameda County as well as San Francisco. So we created this executive leadership team that we'd call upon as needed to, if the TAC wasn't able to resolve issues or something came up that, you know, needed some executive leadership guidance. We call for that, but it would need to be established. And one of the early steps in the study will be to establish these different groups. And then lastly, we have a policy advisory coordination committee. This is for if there's any policy level advice that we need to seek. But we also foresee checking in with the WICTEC board, which is made up of, again, our member agencies, including those transit agencies. Oh, and I should say here, too, is we're starting to There's some precedent here with the I-80-ICM study, which covered a similar area in the San Pablo Avenue multimodal
corridor study,
which is currently underway. So, you know, we're starting to work more together, and so this model is a continuation of that. So, in terms of our procurement schedule, we released the RFP on April 6th. We're here today at our pre-proposal conference. And Wednesday, I believe it's at 3 o'clock, is when any questions are due to me on the RFP, and all my contact information is listed in the RFP itself. There is a correction, or maybe you guys already caught this, that the proposal is due on Tuesday, May 1st, not Monday, May 1st. And we'll have a committee that will be reviewing the proposals, and we hope to be able to, if needed, schedule interviews. We would contact people on the 11th or the 12th, and we recognize it's a very short turnaround to the interviews if it's needed. You may want to block that out on your calendar. It's Tuesday, May 16th. And there's a typo in my presentation where it says the board authorizes negotiation and execution. That should be Friday, May 25th, I believe it is, 2018. And the anticipated contract commencement is Wednesday, June 7th, 2018. The overall schedule for the grant and the study is remarkably tight, even though right now, as we sit here, it sounds like we have almost two years, but Caltrans has told us that absolutely no extensions will be granted, and all billable work must be completed by February 28th, 2018. So,
2019.
Actually, it should be 2020.
2020.
Oh my gosh. I'm doing bad here. But it's correct in the in the RFP. Yes. 2020. So, you can't work backwards. So that's an important date to keep in mind, as well as you plan the public outreach component. You know, we want to avoid things like summer and that, so it's an important date to keep in mind. Although, just to say that the billable work has to be completed by that date, but we can still process invoices after that date. Okay, so there are some links in the RFP to some past relevant studies. There's our West County High Capacity Transit Study. That's on our website. And when you go to the website page, there's a link to all the technical memos. And that's where you get the real detailed information. Then the CCTA is, if they haven't yet, they're very close to completing an express bus study update. Last I checked, that was not on their website, but there's contact information in the RFP to the staff person who is in charge. Then MTC has been going through this managed lanes implementation plan, which looked a lot at the HOB lane utilization in the Bay Area. It might have some good background information. Again, the staff contact link is in the RFP. Then we have what's called the West County Action Plan for Routes of Regional Significance. That's a document that the CCTA has each of its subregions complete, and it kind of lays out the goals for the subregion. And that's where we were saying earlier, it's been this long-standing concern and policy goal to improve high-capacity transit in West County. Then there's this ongoing San Pablo Avenue multimodal corridor study. That's a study that we're a partner with CCTA, and ACTC is taking the lead. And essentially it's looking at if it's possible to put BRT on the San Pablo corridor from Oakland to Hilltop. And the high capacity transit study also recommended BRT along this corridor. There may be some overlap between improvements that are needed to implement that the BRT on San Pablo and express bus service regionally. Then, like I mentioned, Regional Measure 3, the expenditure plan has funding for the I-80 corridor for transit improvements. And then there's numerous specific plans, complete street plans, bicycle pedestrian plans along the corridor, as well as Alameda CTC, or ACTC, and the CCTA both have PDA investment growth strategy documents that cover the area. So you can kind of see the peachy color there. This is roughly the area that we think that this implementation plan would cover. It's, you know, we're not necessarily anticipating that express bus service would start at the Coquina Strait, but that's the area that is a potential catchment area, and people might come from that area to service slightly further south. And then as part of the high capacity transit study, we looked at unserved travel markets, and one of the travel markets that we identified for express bus service was service to Berkeley, Emeryville, and Oakland. These are some preliminary concepts from that study, and that's what we're one aspect of what we're expanding on now with this proposal. So the scope of work, we're seeking the identification of travel markets, routes, stop locations, operating hours, transit, preferential and priority treatments, and gaps in pedestrian and bicycle connectivity to the express bus stops. We need to determine the type, the quantity, the specifications, and are the conceptual designs of the capital infrastructure, determine the operating and maintenance costs and potential funding sources. We also need to develop a branding strategy and a marketing plan. And we need to prepare a draft MOU with our study partners at WestCat and AC Transit regarding the operation and management of this service, because it covers both service areas. So the grant itself is a transportation community planning grant, and it requires an extensive public outreach component. That's one of the reasons why we were selected for funding. So we know that we need to reach a very diverse array of stakeholders. All of our outreach materials need to be bilingual. We need to look at people, or, you know, get information from people at the origin and the destination of the service. And one of the things that makes it potentially a little tricky is there's no existing continual transit service today. One of the reasons why this was identified as an unmet travel market need is because it's essentially a three-seat transit ride to get from West County to, let's say, Jack London Square. And so it's, you know, going to be a little tricky finding people that we need to get this feedback from. We are also looking for meaningful, creative, effective, and interactive outreach tools. Caltrans has said that they want three rounds of outreach, one in which we're asking, another round in which we're presenting information, and then the last one is like the check back. We've proposed surveys, both online and in person, focus groups, pop-up events, mailings, interactive maps online, web pages that would be on WICTAC's website, not a separate website. It would be a page within our that would remain after the plan. We also anticipate the use of social media and traditional media. And then there's also be presentations to governing boards. We expect that we'll need to probably check in with WestCat and AC Transit. Then, that's kind of more the nitty-gritty details part of the scope of work. There's the project initiation, and like I mentioned, the establishment of the Technical Advisory Committee, the Executive Leadership Committee, and the Policy Advisory Committee. And then fiscal management. This is a Caltrans grant, and they have lots of requirements for invoicing and quarterly reports. And we are a small organization who doesn't do this a lot, and will need the assistance of our consultant in preparing these documents. So the RFP submittal requirements, 6 hard copies, 1 electronic version on a flash drive, 30 pages max, and in addition, you can add your resumes, your cost proposals are in a sealed envelope. We're asking for a list of clients that might have done similar work. There's some required forms and certifications and a list of potential conflicts of interest. And be kind to us, I'll say, you know, don't over, you know, quality over quantity on this proposal is appreciated. Like I mentioned, we'll have a selection panel that will review and rank the proposals. We'll be looking at your knowledge and understanding of the project, your approach, how it's staffed, the qualifications, your capacity and project schedule. If there are interviews, again, they'd be Wednesday, May 16th. So questions and answers. We will send anybody who's given us their contact information, will alert you to any agenda or to questions and answers that we've posted on our website. All the information will go there, so be sure to check back periodically. And to date, we've received one question, and we don't have an answer yet for that question.
But then the answers that we send out to everyone will have an answer.
Yeah. So with that, we're here to answer any more questions.
Will you also send around the sign-in sheet or make copies before we leave?
Oh, I'll put it online.
Okay, great.
And I'll put this presentation on.
I did have one question. Is there a small business, local business, disadvantaged business goal? Because we didn't see that in the proposal.
There isn't one. And WICTAC doesn't have That is a current policy.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised Caltrans didn't require us to have it. But we checked with them and they said no. Any other questions?
I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about how soon you think you can implement it, or if there's been any discussion yet about vehicle sharing with the different partner agencies, things like that. Just want to think through a little bit more about the actual implementation ideas that you guys have had so far.
We've been, I'd say, primarily focused on traditional express bus service, not so much car sharing.
Well, not necessarily the car sharing, but like, right. Transit buses or WestCat buses.
Well, I mean, part of what we have to do is develop this MOU to figure out what type of sharing might occur between AC Transit and WestCat. My understanding is right now they probably don't have too many excess buses. And so if RM3 passes, that funding, the $25 million, could potentially be used to on capital purchases of the buses.
But I would think if there were some creative way to do things operationally that was more efficient and, as I mentioned, could be captured or was acceptable to the two operators and could be, you know, codified in some kind of agreement that they were both amenable to, then we're really open to that, open to any operational creativity that you may have that these agencies are open to.
Question. The scope talks about taking a draft plan to the communities for feedback. Is there any thought on whether you want to take one operating scenario or multiple operating scenarios?
Well, I think through the outreach process, like that when we are surveying the community or we have a component with interactive maps, mm-hmm. that would be an opportunity to share with them and get feedback on some different proposals. Did you have more?
Of meetings, would that be multiple meetings within each round or just three meetings?
If I misspoke, I apologize, but we're not necessarily saying they're meetings.
Oh.
It's rounds of public outreach.
Okay.
And because we weren't too successful in our last efforts to draw people into a meeting, and again, there's the area is far and wide, and we just don't think that meetings are going to be the most effective way. That said, we do anticipate that there might be check-in meetings with our partnering agencies and with TEF Board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just periodic presentations about what's going on.
You talked about multiple boards, elected officials, and maybe going to the WestCat and BC Transit boards as well. Do you envision, based on your outreach table here, or your study organization table, that there would be multiple times where we would try to obtain feedback from those boards? Or is it really just taking the final product?
We hope it's taking the final product.
Okay.
other than the WCTAC board, there might be earlier check-ins since we're
the lead.
Yeah. but we really realize that a big part of this work is very technical, and you know, developing the schedules and making sure that it meets the public's needs. You know, where we think we need the policy advice, you know, there might be policy issues that come up that we can't resolve mm-hmm. at the TAC level, in which case maybe we do need to go to that policy advisory committee.
Okay.
It's a bit flexible because, like I said, we don't have an organization that governs this corridor, so mm-hmm. it's a matter of making people feel included and getting the buy-in from them, and then practically speaking, it's pretty hard to draw in the elected officials from, you know, that broad swath of area. Mm-hmm. So we're really counting on the local staff.
On the technical work, what's the review protocol going to be like or anticipated? Because it sounds like WCTAC, of course, is the point of contact, and then WestCat and AC Transit are going to be involved, and perhaps Caltrans, and that's just for the technical reviews. So can you talk a little bit about the review expectations?
I think also the technical advisory committee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say like initial drafts would be reviewed by AC Transit and WestCat and WCTAC, and then we would circulate it out to the larger TAC for comment.
And Caltrans is part of that TAC?
Yeah. I mean, I think with Caltrans, another life I've gotten this grant, they basically want to be CC'd on everything.
Oh, yeah.
So they may not comment on everything, but they want to be considered a partner.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit more about the degree that the startup of this service would depend on the implementation between Caltrans and MTC managed lanes, I-80 stuff going on, the trans-based stuff?
So WCTAC, our board, and at the staff level, we're very concerned about the degradation of the HOV lanes on I-80, and it's affecting the existing express bus service. We are proactively trying to engage MTC, Caltrans, the CHP, and MTC on two fronts. One is policy level changes that might improve the HOV lanes. So we're trying to engage them in, you know, maybe the hours change, maybe the days of the week might change, you know, different policy topics like that. At the same time, oh, and enforcement, which is an ongoing thing. At the same time, we know that MTC and CCTA are interested in managed lanes, like toll lanes, on the I-80 corridor. Our board has said that, you know, it would like to look at these other options before, you know, moving into an express lane situation. So the corridor's been identified for express lanes. It's not currently funded for a plan to implement those express lanes. But that could be changing in the future.
So you're not expecting this study to address, to necessarily solve that issue. That's kind of a separate piece that you're working on.
Right. We're hoping to be able to, through this other effort, to get the express lanes working, or sorry, the HOV lanes working better so that the express buses can better utilize them.
I would just add that I think that the bigger barrier to implementation is the sometimes wariness or reluctance of transit agencies to take on new service without having strongly identified an ongoing source of operating dollars. So the passage of RM3 could be a huge variable in whether or not there's actually money available to implement the service. If it does pass, we have a line item in there, and so we do have access to funds. If it doesn't pass, then it's a much more iffy proposition. So as Leah mentioned, there is this kind of ongoing effort, and we're a small player. We're trying to use these bigger players to address the HOV lane degradation and try to see if that could be optimized or improved. But that's, you're right, kind of a side effort to just trying to get this bus service going.
We hear from our transit operators now that because of the degradation in the HOV lanes, that they have to run more buses to keep the same level of service. So, you know, if we can try to, you know, that's why part of what we're looking at is, you know, is there transit priority improvements that we can make to give them as much of a head start as possible. Got any more? Anybody else?
We have a question. In the looking through the RFP, there's a number of ways this works. There's responsible party listed. It says consultant and web tech staff. I'm curious if you have more clarification on the specifics.
What page are you on?
Well, I was specifically looking at the public outreach starting on page 29 through 33. Particularly for the outreach, I'm interested in knowing which tasks the tech staff would take the lead on, or if it's expected to take the lead on all of these.
We do not expect that we would be taking the lead on most of this.
Okay. Are there any specific things that staff intends to do?
I would think, and you can feel free to add on to this, Leah, that our role is mainly going to be just reviewing and commenting on outreach materials that may be going out there, and either editing or just providing some quality control there, and possibly being a connection to the WICTAC board chair, or other members, letting them know, or letting our member agencies know what's coming, and kind of the tenor and tone of what's kinds of materials that they're going to see. So letting them know that there's an online survey and talking with them about promoting that, or if there's sensitivities around certain things, being a conduit back to the consultant about that. So I'm seeing that mainly as our role, as just another layer of review.
I like that. We're an extremely small organization, so there's, what, 5 of us? So we're looking to the consultants to help us.
Have you guys thought any about the connection with BART, or any kind of supplementing that might be needed, or is that all something that you hope gets sussed out as this goes along?
What do you mean supplemented with art?
So, like, you had that map that shows sort of this detailed area. There's specific, I don't know, just like how much multimodal, like actual intended transfer stuff that is really feeding into this.
Well, there is one of the issues right now with the with a lot of the express bus service in the northern end is that it comes into the Del Norte BART station, and then people have to transfer to BART. And then if they're trying to get to these destinations in Emeryville, West Berkeley, like the Jack London Square area, then they're, yeah. So what we're trying to do is give them that single seat ride, so there's, and reduce that fare penalty that comes with that three seat ride. So, I mean, while there could potentially be some transfers among BART, this is kind of a separate service that goes where BART doesn't go. Well, John has been very nice in taking notes on the questions. Well, probably the easiest thing might be just to post our recording on our website. We will try to do that if we can. Maybe something where we can't do that.
We'll talk about it. We should be able to.
Yeah, I think we ran into that issue.
A technical issue?
Yeah. But if you have any additional questions, get them to us, and we'll try to summarize these and somehow get them onto our website, whether it's the recording or handwritten or, you know, typed Q&A. But questions by Wednesday at 3, and then they'll be posted, the responses no later than Friday. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, everybody.
Really appreciate it.